This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
With worship, is there anyone who got a picture or a word or a vision which the Lord says you've got to share with the congregation?
Hello everyone. When we were worshiping, I saw the joy that we will feel when Jesus is coming and everyone will be singing, praising him when he's coming. So I saw that moment of joy.
Amen. A moment of joy where we were singing because Jesus is going to come back and we're looking forward to that. Is there anyone else who's got...
While we were singing, I saw people's heart connecting with God, with the Holy Spirit, but some people didn't connect. And then God said to me, pray for them. So I prayed for them, and I trust that you connected. So thank you.
Pray then.
Heavenly Father, our Father, we thank you so much that we are able to have a connection with you. Father, through your Holy Spirit that you've sent to us, I speak it in, that everyone will be connected to you. And we cannot see it from the outside, and that's what you also told me. Don't be deceived. Don't assume. So, Father, thank you that your heart is to connect with everyone through your Holy Spirit. And I speak that our hearts will be open to connect. Thank you, Father, that worship is helping us to enter into your presence and always also... the sermon, thank you for connection. And I see now again what I got at intercession before. It was a button that has to go through the buttonhole and then the jersey closes. Father, thank you that we will get the connection to go through the buttonhole to understand what you have on your heart for us today. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Turn to the one next to you and tell the person next to you why you are here. It's not your father or your mother who sent you over here, but why are you here? Thank you for being honest. And if you want to share your answer, Urbanus will be available at the coffee and tea afterwards if you really want to share your answer, and he can listen then if it is correct or not correct. But I just would like to get your mind in motion. Why over here? What are we doing over here? Yes, you maybe see the title and you say, yeah, it's because I've got faith, I believe, that's why I'm over here, or whatever it is, or the weather is too beautiful outside, that's why I'm inside, or I don't know, whatever reason you've got. But the reason should be that we've got faith, that we've got a belief, and that's why we are here. Because that's why we as a congregation are coming together, to be reminded again by the Holy Spirit. And if there's teachings as well, that we also learn from it, what we can help or what we can use in our own life. I'm using the word faith and belief because faith and belief is... some of them say it's exactly the same word, and you most probably will find a book somewhere. If you go on, Amazon.com, and you will find a book that somebody wrote a book about the differences between belief and faith. But we just now will come to scriptures as well, that exactly the same word is translated one time with faith and then the other time with belief. The Nelson's Bible Dictionary says that faith is a belief or confident attitude toward God involving commitment to His will for one's life. And belief is to place one's trust in God's truth. God is involved, trust is involved. We've been singing just now as well, faithfulness, yes and amen. And that's why we are here. That's why we are together over here. And that is what God wants to remind us of this afternoon. That trust what we can have in Him for the promises what He has given us. Thank you, Father, that we can be here because we want to be here. We want to be here to listen to you, what you want to share with us. And it's about faith. It's about belief. It's about that relationship that we've got with you, Father. And it's not something which we've got on a Sunday and during the week it doesn't exist. But it's something which is right through our whole life. Like our heart is beating each and every second. It should be exactly the same with the relationship with you. It's continuously there. And without it, there is actually no life. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can have faith in you, in your trust. And thank you that we can believe that you've got a plan. Your plan, Jesus Christ, that he died for us at the cross. And your plan to fill us with the Holy Spirit, to give us power to testify all over the world. Thank you, Father, that we can have that trust in you because you've got that plan for us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Yes and amen. What are we actually believing? What faith do we have? And I want to quote out of John 14, where Jesus is talking to his disciples and where he is encouraging them, his disciples, where he is telling them, believe in me, where he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Because God is able, believe in me. And then he's telling them about the mansions, what he is preparing for us at the moment. And then he also says, and where I go now, in the way you know. And then Thomas has got a question again. And Thomas asks, where are you going? And how can we know the way? And then Jesus says that beautiful, I should say that statement what he makes, that he says to Thomas and to the disciples over there at John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. The first Christian church, the name of the Christian church was The Way, with a capital. Because this is as a result of what Jesus has been saying. He is the way. And it's beautiful. If as a church that you would have that name, The Way. There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. That is the way, with a capital. So we know what we can do when we have that faith and when we believe. And this scripture is always a little bit overwhelming. But it's there, and it's from Jesus. A little bit later in John 14, verse 12, he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me. So if we believe, if we've got that faith in Jesus, the work that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Jesus is giving that promise, and he says, if we believe, if we've got faith, then we can do those type of things. Then we can do greater things as what he has been doing. Faith is the opposite of fear. If you're full of fear, then there's no faith. If you're full of faith, then you haven't got any fear. Jesus is talking to his disciples when he's on the boat, and there's a storm, and then he speaks into the storm, and the storm becomes quiet. And then he said to them, Mark 4, verse 40, why are you so fearful? Why are you so full of fear? How is that you have no faith? If we're full of fear, we can have no faith. So if we've got faith and we have belief, we shouldn't have any fear. And a story reminds me what I heard this week. It was apparently a plane, stormy conditions. And there was a little child, and the little child was sitting in a plane, and nothing was happening. All the other people around him screaming, shouting, vomiting, whatever is happening when the plane is going like that. Finally, it landed. It landed safely. They got all out. And then one of the people went to that door, that little child, and said, but why was there no fear with you? Why were you not afraid? And then he said, my dad is the pilot, and he said he's going to take me home. And that's exactly the same for our lives. We do not have to be afraid. Our dad, the Heavenly Father, is the pilot, And he's going to bring us safely home. What is faith? And why is it so important? Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things we hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Now before I'm going to carry on with Hebrews 11, because that is the chapter of faith in the Bible, I'm just going to give you a little bit of a background about Hebrews, that we understand where's Hebrews actually coming from. Hebrews was directed, the letter, it was directed to the Jewish believers who stepped out of Judaism into Christianity. So they went out of Judaism into Christianity, and this letter is now directed to them because they wanted to go back into Judaism as a result of the people around them who are telling them what you're doing and what you're believing doesn't make any sense. And this is where this letter is directed to. It has been written before AD 70 because it is referring to the offerings, and the temple was broken down or burnt in 70 AD, so it must have been just before that. But it is, some people say it is a book of Paul, and if you take a look at your King James Bible, it will say that it is a book of Paul, or a book of Paul, but there's no proof of it. So the other Bibles, they will say that they're not quite sure actually who wrote that book. But it starts as an essay, it carries on as a sermon, and it ends at a letter. But it's also written in a very high Greek language. So the person who wrote it, or to whom it has been addressed as well, it was very important. The key word in the whole book is the word better, 13 times what it has been used for. And there's also a lot of references to the Old Testament, meaning that the one who wrote the book knew exactly what the position of those people were who went out of Judaism into Christianity, and now they're thinking of going back again. And the book is actually a pastoral encouragement and is also helping them and to stay where they are, that they're not going back to the Judaism. And the message of Hebrews is clear and pertinent. The promises of God, what God has given to us, what we've been singing as well. And Marco and me are not talking about the songs beforehand. So he's praying and I'm praying. And he's singing about faithfulness. The promises what God is making are promises which we can trust. Because there's proof of it, of each and every time, the promise what he made, that it happened. And that the promise what he's got for us as well, that we're going to be with him in heaven forever and ever. And that Jesus is busy for us preparing a place, that it is true and that it is going to happen. In the Hebrews book, in the beginning, it's talking about Jesus, that Jesus is God coming down to humanity. It's talking about Jesus as the high priest, where the high priest normally would go, and each and every year he would do an offering for the sins of the people. But he had to do it each and every year again because the people are sinning. So he had to, each and every year, he had to do exactly the same. But then Jesus came as high priest. He was the high priest and he was the offering. And he only did it once. And he only had to do it once. In Hebrews, we will hear then and we can read then about the high priest, about Jesus. Hebrews was for me always a little bit of a book, but I didn't know quite sure, and I wasn't really quoting verses out of Hebrew because I didn't really understand. But God gave me the title and said, faith. It has got to be about faith. And there's only one chapter in the Bible which is about faith, and only about faith. And that is Hebrews 11, where we're going to have a look at. But Hebrews 11, we cannot just start at Hebrews 11 verse 1 and then stop at Hebrews 11 verse 39 or 40. We just have got to go back to 10 and say and have a look and see, but why is he writing 11? Where is it coming from? Hebrews 10 verses 35 to 39. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has got great reward. Can you see now, this writer is writing his letter now to those people who are thinking of going back again to Judaism, where he says, don't cast away your confidence. Don't cast away your confidence what you've got in God, which has got a great reward. God is giving that reward to us. He's promising that reward. He makes that promise. He will be with us in heaven forever and ever. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Confirming again the promise, what God is giving to us. And then he's quoting Habakkuk 2, verses 3 to 4. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. The just shall be live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Warning again, if we've got faith, then we can receive the promise. But if we're going to draw back, applicable for us today as well, if we're going to walk away out of the church and we say, I do not trust God, I do not trust his promises, my soul has no pleasure in them. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. I took the last verse and I also took it out of the Amplified Classic. The other scriptures are all coming out of the New King James. And it elaborates it a little bit and it explains it a little bit more. But our way is not of those who draw back to eternal misery. He's warning, if you go back to Judaism, you go into misery and are utterly destroyed, because that's what's happening. If they go back to Judaism, if they go back, or if we go back, we are going to be destroyed. But we are of those who believe, who cleave to and trust in and rely on God through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and by faith preserve the soul. It's an awesome promise what God is giving us over there. That we can rely on him, trust him, that we can cleave on him through Jesus Christ. That our souls will be preserved. And then we come to Hebrews 11. It's always, in the Bible, you have so many times those chapters. And you cannot read only the chapter. Sometimes have got to have a look at the previous chapter and have a look and see where it is coming from and what is going on. Typical words like therefore or but, and then you know, okay, there's something before, and then it says therefore, or it's something before, and then it says but. Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 40, and I'm going to read all of them. The doors are closed. We've got coffee and tea at the back, so don't be afraid. We will be finished at 6. By faith, we understand. That's what in my Bible is at the top over there. Again, we are here because we've got faith. By faith, we understand. By faith, we understand what God's plan is with us. And by faith, we are understanding that relationship what we've got with God, we want to strengthen that relationship. We don't want to just simmer it, but we want to increase it, that we strengthen our relationship with God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of the things not seen. Faith is the substance of the things we hoped for. So things where we are trusting in and what we're hoping what is going to happen and the evidence of things not seen. We're trusting in things what we haven't seen, what we're not sure of. God is giving that promise and we're not quite sure. Is that going to happen or is it not going to happen? For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. The ancestors had stories which happened, which is, gives us proof of that each and every time when God made a promise to them and it happened, it confirms that we can trust God with the promises what he's giving to us. By faith, and there are 18 of them, 17 linked up to a person, but this one is standing on his own, and it says each and every time, by faith, by faith. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God framed the world by the word of God, The world was created. God put it together by the word, by just speaking it. And then it happened, and then it was created. So that the things which are not, so the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. It has been created by God, everything what we see. It's not that a visible thing created another thing. No. If there are certain people who are believing in evolution, I think this scripture is quoting again, along with what's standing in the beginning of the Bible, God created heaven and earth. And that's what I trust and that's what I believe. And then we come to the different ancestors, the famous people in the Bible, if I can put it that way. And then it carries on with the one after the other and after the other. So I'm running a little bit fast through all of them. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel was the first person who died for his belief. The first person who died because he had a relationship with God. His brother didn't like it. Killed him. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he didn't see death. Because he pleased God. He had a good relationship with God. By faith, was taken away. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's in verse 6. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. If we are singing over here, and if we're worshiping God, we're not worshiping a screen over here. We're worshiping God. In the spiritual realm, we are singing it. And as we were singing this afternoon, it sounded like angels. Now, I don't know if there are certain ladies who've got beautiful voices over here, but it was beautiful. And I think it must have been beautiful for God as well, to hear that people, the children of him, are praising his name, glorifying his name, exalting his name, because he is our God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. If we haven't got faith, if we do not trust God, we cannot please him. Because if we come to God, we must believe that he is. We acknowledge that he is there. And he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is not a matter of waiting on your couch with the remote control. God is one who diligently has got to be sought. You've got to diligently seek him. And that means that you've got to spend time. You've got to spend time with God and seek him. And then he's the rewarder. He's going to reward us for that. By faith, Noah. How that guy did it, I don't know. If I got such a message, I would have said, sorry, it's at the wrong address. I would give it to somebody else. To build a boat when they didn't know what rain was. To have all those people around you who are making jokes about you. And then you've got to build a boat. It's not a matter of that nowadays we will have a certain plan. We will roll it out. We've got measuring tapes and all those type of things. How he has done it, I don't know. But he has done it. By faith, Noah was obedient to what God told him. The one who also was obedient was Abraham. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of his place, which he would receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Got an instruction, he left. He went to a certain place, he didn't know actually where he was going to. But he was obedient. He obeyed. Which is important for us as well. We also have got to be obedient. If God is saying something to you, you've got to be obedient. Last night at 2 o'clock, Rene got a certain dream with a certain instruction. I'm glad he hasn't done it. But you need then sometimes have got to ask God for confirmation. Lord, is this really? Or like Gideon, put your carpet out again and get a confirmation before you're doing it, if it is too difficult for you. By faith, he, who is Abraham, dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. God promises you that piece of ground is going to be yours. Then he moves to that piece of ground. He stays over there, but he still feels as a foreigner. Because he's not building a house over there. He can only build a tent over there. This is only what God is allowing him. So God is making a promise to him that this is the promised land for your ancestors. But still, he's not getting the full out of it. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. Yes, She was laughing when she heard it, because she thought it's totally impossible. And that's for God possible. And that's always a beautiful thing. If it's for us impossible, then it becomes for God possible. These who've been mentioned just now all died in faith, verse 13, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off when were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The instructions were always that way, that they knew, but we're only here on this earth for a certain period. We're just pilgrims, sojourners. We're going through. We come and we go. It's the same as what we're on this earth at the moment. We're also here for a certain period. 14, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had the opportunity to return. All of them could have said at a certain time, whom we've mentioned just now, sorry, I'm quitting, I'm going back to my country. All of them could have done it. We can do it exactly the same. We can say, sorry, I'm quitting, I'm not going to have a relationship with God anymore. And that's what he's bringing now to those Jewish Christians, because this is what they know. It was history what they had. And they're also thinking about it, of going back to their homeland, going back to the Judaism. But he carries on. But now they desire a better, and that's a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. They see themselves that they're only here for a certain period. But the goal is that city which God is going to be building for them, what Jesus is preparing for them. For us, exactly the same. We're also on our way through over here. The perfect place we're not going to get over here. But the perfect place, that's God's promise. It's going to come. And then he's talking about the patriarchs. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He had so much trust in God that he was prepared to do the promise with God, to do the instruction what God told him to do. Again, I would have walked away. I would have argued with God. I would have said, but God, can we have a conversation? Can we just have a cup of coffee together? Because the instruction what you're giving now doesn't make sense. You're promising me a lot of children. Now I've got a child, and now you're telling me I must offer them. And I can tell you it's sometimes happening as well that you also get such an instruction that you say, but it doesn't make any sense. But trust God and get confirmation that what the instruction what he's giving to you, because you don't know what is the total plan of God. Fortunately, we do not know. We know the end goal, but not always the process in between. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. He blessed them because he knew what was going to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, and he worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. And there we can see them, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Guys, if you're going to that promised land, which was promised to one of my ancestors, I still want to go along. Even that I'm dead, please remember my bones. Take my bones along. I don't want to miss it. I want to be there. This is more or less, I think, the way that Joseph had told his children to do. Please do not forget me. Don't leave me in Egypt. Even if it's just my bones, but please take it along. I don't want to miss that promise, what God is giving over here. And in the faith of Moses, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. His parents were not afraid of the king's commandments. They knew there was something more. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with people of God than to enjoy passing pleasure of sin. He was in that palace. He was with Pharaoh. He had all the privileges what he had over there. But he said, what's more important for me is to be with my people, as what I'm getting all the welfare and all the privilege of what the king's house is giving me. We sometimes also get in such a situation that we also have got to choose. The world is offering a lot of things, a lot of pleasure. Like today, you could be outside. But you decided to be over here with your Christian family, with your Christian brothers and sisters. And this is what Moses did as well. He also chose to be associated with those people who were slaves instead of being at the king's house. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than a treasure in Egypt, for he looked to the rewards. He knew about that promised land. He knew that God was going to give that promised land, and he was looking forward to that. And every believer faces the recurring choice that Moses also has got to make, like I just now said. Are we going to identify ourselves with our brothers and sisters, where we've got to maybe drop certain things, certain pleasures, certain privileges? Or are we going to say, I'm going to follow the world and I'm going to enjoy the pleasure of sin? The problem is, if we make such a choice, it has got eternal consequences. And that's where we've got to be very careful for. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He said, I do not want to have Egypt. I do not want to have the king. That's for me not important. To be obedient to the instruction of God is for me more important. And by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down as they were encircled for 7 days. We are aware of a war which is happening not that far away from here. And if people were going to be instructed to walk 7 times around a town to conquer it, I don't think that any general will give that instruction. Any person will actually stand up and say, I will do it. But if God is speaking, then we've got to be obedient in our own lives as well. It can be totally madness for ourselves, but if it's coming from God, we've got to be obedient. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And then it's talking about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, and all of them. All of them who had promises which were given to them, and all of them who acted by faith, who trusted what God told them. They did what God told them. Although they did not really receive the reward, but they were obedient and they did what God told them to do. Some of them were even stoned. Isaiah, like it said, it's a possibility that they've cut them in two. Some of them were tempted. Some of them were slain with the words. And then verse 39 says, and all these, having obtained good testimony of faith, did not receive the promise. They did not receive the final promise, but they were still busy with it, but they were obedient. They had obtained a good testimony because they were doing in faith what God told them to do. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. God has got something much better for us, and that's the eternal life with him in heaven forever and ever. And then again, yes, this is the last verse of 11, but then we've got to go and look at 12. And 12, the first word, what still stands in 12? Therefore. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the cloud of witnesses are the guys which I mentioned just now. All those ancestors, they are checking us, I nearly want to say. They're seeing what are we doing with the promises and with the instructions what God is giving us. Let us not lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great of a cloud of witnesses, we are running a race, the period what we are here on this earth. We've got to lay aside every weight, every dead weight which we are carrying around, every distraction which we've got, which is sometimes a sin as well, because it so easily ensnares us. It so easily holds us back. If you've got a runner, he's not going to take dead weight unnecessarily along. Am I correct? I don't know if there are any runners over here, any of those people who run, comrades or whatever, but I can imagine you don't do that. You don't put up a rucksack with 20 stones in it and then you say, okay, no, it doesn't make sense. And exactly the same over here. If we've got things which are holding us back, then we've got to bring it to God because it's dead weight. If it is maybe a sin, we've got to repent of it and that it is in not carrying on with it so that we can run the race with endurance, the race which is set before us. Each and every one has got a race to run. But we've got to do something more. We've got to look unto Jesus, that's verse 2, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand, the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. Now, if you're looking unto Jesus, it's not a matter of looking like a TV or your phone screen or anything like that, but looking means that you really want to see what is happening, and you want to copy it. You want to take out of it, of whatever is in there, what you can use for yourself. Because who is Jesus? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Author means that he's the chief leader. He's the leader of the whole army of faith. That is the leader, Jesus. We're looking to Jesus, to the leader. And a leader is the one who's putting in an example. He's not a manager. He's a leader. Showing the finisher of faith, the perfecter of faith. With Jesus, faith is perfected. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He knew what he was going to do, Jesus, when he had to go to the cross. And we maybe can say it looks a little bit strange. How can he have a joy? He knew what was behind it. He knew what was after it. And that's why he had a joy. Because Jesus also had an instruction from God. He could also have said, sorry, not for me. We wouldn't have had the relationship with God now. But now we can have a relationship with God through Jesus. And he's sitting now at the right hand of the throne of God. So we've got to look, we've got to run a race. And you maybe say, no, I'm not a runner, I'm more a weightlifter or anything like that. We've got to walk with God. We've got to walk with Jesus. And in our race, we can look to Jesus as our example to trust on God. We can look at him, the commitment to his will. We can look to Jesus where he's praying. Where Jesus also was overcoming temptation and suffering. But also where there was a loyalty to the Father. And where he was receiving joy in completing the work which God is giving him. And Jesus is also the ultimate example of one who has already run the race and won the victory. And Jesus is our source for strength, for love, for grace, for mercy, and for help. If I've got to summarize what I've been saying there this afternoon, I want to encourage you. As what the writer of Hebrews was writing now to those Jewish Christians who were thinking of going back to Judaism. He's warning them, and he's telling them, and he's showing them through all those promises, don't go that way. Stay with Jesus Christ. It's exactly the same for us. On Thursday evening, when we go evangelize in town, we spoke to a guy of approximately, let's say, 22 years old. And he shared with us that at the age of 14, 15, 16, he decided he's not going to go to church anymore. He said his mom and dad are not happy. They are still going to church. But then through the conversation, and he was very open with that, we had a good conversation with him, and he had to choose to talk to us or to go inside and watch the soccer game of Feyenoord. But he decided he was prepared to spend time with us, which for me was already an indication that it is something which is important for him, where he's battling with, but where he's not found surety yet. Then he shared that he went out of church, that he didn't want to carry on with a relationship with God. And in the conversation, I could hear that it was more about the knowledge about God. He didn't have a relationship with God. He couldn't call God his father. We spoke to him, shared with him, and prayed afterwards as well that he's still going to make that decision. The other guy who was next to him didn't have anything of a Christian background, and he said, "No, I'll only think about it when I'm a little bit older." And then I asked him, "As old as I am?" Or then he says, "Yeah, maybe even a little bit later." He says, "Then I will think about it, what's happening with me when I'm going to die." I said, "It can happen any time. And it's never too late." But this letter of the letter to the Hebrews, is that it's about an encouragement that we've got to run the race in faith, that we've got to believe, that we've got to put the trust in God. But we don't have to do it on our own. We've got Jesus as an example and the Holy Spirit as our helper. Now, what more do you want? What more do we want? And I don't know why I had to do this subject today and why I had to do it if there's somebody here or maybe watching or listening afterwards who's thinking about it, of going out of church, or where the relationship between him or her with God is not good at the moment, that they had to be reminded and that they had to be encouraged to think about the relationship, what they've got with God at the moment, that they've got to throw some dead weight off, that they've got to repent maybe of some sins. I don't know. But this is what I felt, what the Lord wanted to, that we should be bringing to you. Have faith. There's more to be gained in Christ than to be lost in the world. Have faith. Believe. Believe in God. Because you're going to gain more in Christ is what you're going to lose in this short period what you are on earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are a God, that you are a Father, that you speak to us, your children. And Father, that you, I can see you as a Father looking down at us. Your heart is bleeding, Father, for your creation. You love your creation. You want each and every one to make that decision to say, "Jesus, I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, come in my life as my helper. God, I accept you as Father." You want that each and every one is making a decision, Father, because you've got a promise for each and every one of us. It's not for the one a little bit more and the other one a little bit less. It's for each and every one exactly the same, that we can spend eternity with you in heaven. Father, it's such an awesome promise. It's such an awesome invitation. And if you're here this afternoon and you feel you've never replied on that invitation of God, you've never put up your hand, you've never prayed in public, you never declared in public that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you accepted the Holy Spirit as your helper, and that you called God your Father, and you want to make the decision this afternoon, then I'm asking you to raise your hand now. Thank you, Father, that we are running a race. But yes, we know there's some dead weight on our shoulders. There's some sin. And most probably it is sin that we are not spending time with you. We spoke about it in the Bible school this week as well. It's a problem to make time for you. And Father, I'm asking now that we can come to you. And I'm giving an invitation now. If that's maybe for you, that you say, yes, I feel that I'm running a race, but I'm carrying dead weights, which I've got to throw off. Or I'm maybe busy with sins, where I've got to repent of. And this afternoon, I've got to address it, because I feel that the Holy Spirit is stirring my heart. Then I'm asking you, just raise your hands. Just say, Lord, that's me. I know I'm running the race, but I've got dead weight on my shoulders. Father, I know that I'm sinning because I'm not spending time with you. I'm spending time with other stuff. I've got time to watch movies and to do all other type of things. But the time with you is not what it should be. If that's you, then I'm asking you that you just raise your hand that I can pray for all of us. Heavenly Father, you see those hands also of those who are maybe not putting up their hands, but they know. Maybe they're watching or listening afterwards, that there's dead weight, stuff what they're carrying along which is not necessary. And Father, I pray, Lord, that each and every one in their individual case, that they can take it off and that they can leave it with the cross. That they're not going to carry it any longer, but that they can run the race the way you want it to be run. Looking up to Jesus as the perfect example, being encouraged by Jesus, and being helped by the Holy Spirit. And Father, if there's a certain sin, and it doesn't have to be mentioned, but you can mention it in your heart to God, and you can say, Lord, this is what I'm battling with, and I'm repenting of it this afternoon, because this is holding me back in running the race with you. I want to totally give myself to you. I want to recommit myself to you again, Father. The relationship with you, I want to strengthen it again this afternoon. Then mention it in your heart. Repent of it. That you can run the race as God wants you to run the race. That you can run by faith, by believing in God, the creator of heaven and earth, who wants you to be with him in heaven forever and ever. Thank you, Father, that you are faithful. Thank you that you are our yes and amen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.